Verses 8, 9, and 10. The Gospel of Luke, this 15th chapter. The Lord says, "Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost." Now the Lord, you see, applies the teaching of the parable. The Lord then says, "Likewise, I say unto you," to those who have gathered around them, "there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth." As we pointed out last week, the joy is in the presence of the angels. It's not, the Lord didn't make reference to the angels rejoicing over one sinner that repented, but the joy was in the presence of the angels. We might say, well, who is in the presence of the angels? Well, the Lord Himself. And the Lord rejoices every time one of His sheep is found. Just like the shepherd, he rejoiced, so Christ our shepherd rejoices. As well as the Savior rejoicing, the saints rejoice. As we pointed out, news is carried by the angels to heaven to tell the saints in glory another soul has been found. And here's another parable. And on the face of it, it would seem to teach exactly the same thing. And in this 15th chapter of Luke, we have here a trinity of parables. There is the case of the lost sheep, and then the lost piece of silver, and the lost son. As we've already said, we could be forgiven if we understood these parables to be stories which teach the same doctrine, only under different metaphors. There is, of course, a common theme running through the three parables. The theme of the lost sinner being sought and found, and the rejoicing that takes place over that soul being found. But that is not all that is in these three parables. Surely the Lord did not tell these three parables merely to emphasize the same truth. There must be something else in the three parables besides a soul, lost soul, being sought and won, and the rejoicing that results from that finding of that soul. There must be some other truth here. Now we confess tonight that this truth must be emphasized from our pulpits from time to time. That is, that souls need to be sought, need to be won, and indeed there ought to be rejoicing amongst the saints of God, not only here on earth, but there is in heaven, of course, when one soul is found, brought to Christ. In the first parable, we are told about the shepherd seeking his lost sheep. Without a doubt, this pictures for us the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the chief shepherd. He is the good shepherd. He laid down his life for the sheep. There's the teaching of the first parable. It teaches us the work, about the work of the Lord Jesus. Now when we consider the second parable, if you look carefully, and we'll see this tonight, we see here the work of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit working through the church. The church is the woman here in the parable. And of course, that's how the church is pictured, as the bride of Christ. She is seen as a woman. And of course, in the winning of souls, the Spirit of God works through the church. Now consider this. In the first parable, you have the living sheep. It willfully and with great determination goes astray. The shepherd goes out after that sheep. There's the picture of the sinner who goes astray willfully, knowingly, goes astray like all sheep. The Lord Jesus is the shepherd who goes out and searches for the lost sheep. Now you come to the second parable. What is it that's lost? It's a piece of silver. A piece of silver has no feeling. A piece of silver is dead. It's an inanimate piece of metal. It has no feeling. It's dead. There again you have another picture of the sinner. The sinner is dead, spiritually dead. And what will bring that sinner to life? The work of the Holy Spirit. The soul of the sinner is dead. And the only way that that sinner can be made alive in Jesus Christ is by the working of the Holy Spirit. And so you can see already there is a slight difference in the story. From a live sheep to a dead piece of silver. The sheep pictures the sinner willfully going astray. The piece of silver pictures for us the dead sinner. Paul said, "You have he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins." And the woman is the church. The Spirit of God working through the church, going out and seeking and winning the lost, being soul winners. And the Spirit of God working in the hearts and minds and the very soul of those sinners to bring them to life in Jesus Christ. So the first parable emphasizes the work of Christ. The second parable emphasizes the work of the Holy Spirit. The third parable emphasizes the work of the Father. The Father who had two sons. One wanted all that was due to him, his portion. And he went away from home and spent it in riotous living. The third parable pictures for us the love of the Father, who's ready to receive that wayward son upon his return. See the three parables? They highlight for us a different aspect of the work of salvation. They represent the whole compass of salvation. And they emphasize also the work of the three persons of the Blessed Trinity in salvation. The work of the Son, work of the Spirit, the work of the Father. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And dear child of God, our salvation and the great work of salvation was the work of the Trinity. And here, the Lord sets it out before us in these three parables. Tonight we're considering the second of the three. And in this parable before us tonight, we behold the work of the Holy Spirit in and through the church. First of all, we have the woman and the lost piece of silver. We're told that this woman had 10 pieces of silver and that she had lost one piece. And we are told, does she not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? Here we have her priority. Now the Lord, in telling this parable, does not mention this woman's husband. He just mentions the woman. Perhaps her husband was away, and she was left in charge of the home. I have no doubt that she had many things to attend to. Ladies here tonight know that there are many things to attend to in the home. You can be busy all day attending to those things, never mind having to attend to other things. And she would have had certain problems to contend with. But when she discovered that she had lost one piece of silver, she set everything else to the side. Everything else, every problem, every duty, every need in the home was set to one side. And she made the search for this piece of silver her priority. There's the church. Our husband is away. Our husband has returned to heaven. The Lord Jesus has returned to heaven. And he has left us in charge, as it were. And as a church here upon earth, we have many problems to contend with. We have many duties to fulfill. There are many things to be done as a church. But dear child of God, let us mark this priority. That while we're here upon earth, let us make it a priority to seek the lost for Jesus Christ. To seek those who are dead, trespasses and in sins. And to seek to win them for the Lord Jesus Christ. As was said, the church from time to time has difficulties. But let us not allow those difficulties to come in the way of our seeking the lost. Over in Acts chapter 6, regarding the church in Jerusalem, a great difficulty arose. And it was hindering the work of God. And it was hindering the witness and the work of the church in going out and winning the lost. We're told in Acts chapter 6 that in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Isn't it interesting? In those days when the number of the disciples multiplied, and if the Lord is pleased to give us the increase and pleased to multiply the number of disciples here, that's something we need to watch out for. That the devil doesn't get in amongst us and cause division, because that's what was happening in the church in Jerusalem. And it was hindering the work. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. They had to leave the word of God, the study of the word, the preaching of the word, and attend to these temporal matters. And of course they chose out 7 men full of the Holy Ghost to attend to that matter. And then they said, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And you go down to verse 6. And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. They were not going to allow that problem to stand in the way of the witness and the work of the church and to hinder them in preaching the gospel and winning souls for Jesus Christ. The winning of the lost was a priority. And may the winning of the lost be a priority for us. Let us not allow financial difficulties, repeated disappointments, to stand in our way. But may we say, this is a priority. We need to win the lost. The Lord helping us. Not only does it show us the priority, it shows us the problem. This piece of silver was lost. There's the problem. The problem was that this woman had lost her piece of silver in the dust. That's why she had to get a broom and start sweeping the house. Now, you and I would know that homes in Bible times are nothing like what the homes we live in today. Many of them had dirt floors. And so when someone dropped a piece of silver, a silver coin, it could easily have been lost. And so this woman had this problem. She dropped this coin. It had fallen in the dust or in the dirt, and it was hidden somewhere. You know what it's like. You go into the supermarket and there's a nice level floor there. And you'd want to pay for something and you put your hand in your pocket or your purse and you pull out a handful of coins and suddenly you drop them and they just run everywhere. You might find one or two and you need help to find the rest. They run everywhere. And if the souls of men are likened onto a piece of silver that this woman dropped, so it is with the souls of men. They're lost. Everywhere. Everywhere you go, there are lost souls. Everyone has fallen. Everyone fell in Adam. Where did they fall? They didn't all fall into exactly the same place. Again, you drop a handful of coins, and they'll all fall in the one place. They'll be scattered everywhere. Legion. Legion was a fallen man. Legion fell into a company of devils. That's where he fell. And that's where the Lord found him. The woman in the Pharisee's house, Simon the Pharisee. That woman came in when she heard the Lord was there. She was a fallen woman. She had fallen into vice. That's where the Lord found her. Zacchaeus, that little man who had to climb up the tree, was a tax collector. But he was a thief. He was a robber. Because whenever he got saved, he told the Lord he had to put things right. He had to go back to the people that he had stolen from and put things right. He had fallen amongst those that steal and rob. That's where the Lord found him. Cornelius. You read about Cornelius, you would hardly think of him as being a fallen man, but he was. But he fell, as it were, on the clean side of the road. He had fallen into religion. He had believed in prayer. He believed in tithing. He believed in paying vows. But still he was a fallen man. So you see, Legion didn't fall. Cornelius fell. Saul of Tarsus. Saul was a fallen man. Where did he fall into? He fell into a band of murderers. That's where the Lord found him. And so, dear child of God, there are those, indeed all of mankind, have fallen, and have all fallen into different types of living. Sinful lives. Some are drunkards today. Some are churchgoers. They're still fallen. Some are upright and honest. Some are liars and thieves and robbers. Like the scattering of a handful of coins, so all men have fallen into different lives. But wherever they've fallen, they're all lost. That's the problem. They're lost. We go out and search for those souls. Who knows where we're going to find them? But we still have to search. The Spirit of God helping us, enabling us to win the loss for Jesus Christ. Notice the possession. For we're told that this woman had lost, or rather had 10 pieces of silver. The Lord says, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it. It was her coin. It was her piece of silver. She had 10 pieces and she lost one. That one piece still belonged to her wherever it had fallen. In the dirt or in the dust, it was still her coin. And as we pointed out last week, like that sheep, it still belonged to the shepherd. Wherever it had wandered to, it was still the possession of the shepherd. And that piece of silver was still the possession of that woman. And this tells us, dear child of God, that those for whom Jesus Christ has died, whom he has peculiarly redeemed by his own blood, they may have fallen. They may live lives of sin, but they still belong to Christ. They're his. They're his possession. Just as you and I were the Lord's possession before we were found. Did the Lord not choose us in him before the foundation of the world? He did. Therefore we belong to him long before we knew him. We were his possession. Christ received us of old. What did the Lord, the Father, say to the Son? Ask of me, and I will give thee the heathen. And when the Savior asked, the wonderful thing is, he asked for me. And he asked for you. And he said, give me that man. Give me that woman. We belong to him. We are his elect. And so it is. As the Lord here is teaching this great truth, the piece of silver still belonged to the woman even though it was lost. And you know there are lost souls in this town tonight. And who knows? The very fact that God has put this witness here tells me that God has his elect in this town. And the Lord would say to us tonight, as he said once to Paul, I have much people in this city. The Lord has His precious souls in this city, and it's only a matter of time until they're found. And dear Christian, let us pray that God will be pleased to use this church to find those lost pieces of silver. Let's pray to that end. Let's pray that God will make this church a soul-winning church. That God will work, as we've already made the request tonight, we need to see the working of the Holy Spirit of God. Because these souls are dead. And there's nothing but nothing we can do to bring a spark of life into that dead soul. The Spirit of God must do it. We need to pray. The Spirit of God will work. Pray that God indeed will give us the joy of finding a lost piece of silver. Notice something else. This woman had 10 pieces of silver. She lost one. She forsook everything else that had to be done in the house and began searching for that piece of silver. In other words, she hadn't forgotten about it. She had lost it. Sometimes we may lose something and then forget about it and forget to look for it. Not so this woman. She didn't forget to look for this piece of silver. Aren't we glad that the Lord didn't forget to look for us? Aren't we glad that even though He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, He didn't forget about us? He sent a preacher to preach to us. He brought a church into being that we might attend and hear the gospel. He didn't forget about us. And the lost souls in this town, the Lord hasn't forgotten them. And dear Christian, that soul you're praying for, Lord hasn't forgotten them. He hasn't forgotten. He has them upon us. And He prays for them. Just as He prayed for you and me before we ever prayed to Him. For He says, neither pray I for these alone, that is His disciples, but for them also which shall believe on Me through their word. Notice the portion. Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it. Consider how valuable this piece of silver was to the woman. Consider the three parables. The shepherd lost one sheep out of 100. The woman lost one piece of silver out of 10. And the father lost one son out of 2. One piece of silver to the woman was a tenth part of all that she had. A sheep was 100th part of all that he had. The son, if we can put it in that way, was 50th, half of what all he had. In other words, the Lord is teaching us here just how precious this piece of silver was to the woman. It was a tenth of all that she had. None of us here would like to lose a tenth of all that we have. You think of those poor souls down in the southern states, and they've lost everything. Some of them even their own kith and kin. Wouldn't like that. We wouldn't like to lose a tenth of all that we have. This piece of silver was precious. And that's how we ought to see souls. Souls as being very precious. And our constant prayer ought to be, "Oh, teach me what it meaneth. That cross uplifted high was one the man of sorrows, condemned to bleed and die. Oh, teach me what it cost thee." You want to know the true value of a soul? Then you look to Calvary. Because the salvation of my soul cost the blood of God. That's the value. "Oh, teach me what it cost thee to make a sinner whole, and teach me, Savior, teach me the value of a soul." There's a church. So we have the woman and her lost piece of silver. With the woman looking for the piece of silver. Once she had discovered her loss, the woman begins her search. Notice what she does first of all. The Lord says, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle. Now this informs me something of the darkness was in her house. Once again, houses in Bible times just had dirt floors. They were dusty, easy to lose a coin. Also, they didn't have glass as we have. And to keep out the sun and cut down in the heat, they would have very narrow windows, just slits for windows. Which then, in turn, meant that the house was very dark. And so when she lost a piece of silver, she needed a candle. And she lit the candle and started looking for the piece of silver. It was lost somewhere in the darkness. Just like the souls of men are lost in the darkness. There's a darkness that covers their souls like a shroud. There's a darkness over their eyes, as dark as night. You cannot see in the darkness. You cannot see. They cannot see their need. They cannot see their danger. They do not know anything about the road ahead. They can't see their destination. They can't see that burning hell. They can't see that lake of fire. And while they remain in the darkness, they cannot see Calvary. They cannot see the cross. They cannot see the one who came to die for sinners just like them. What do they need? They need the light. And the candle here would represent the gospel. This is the gospel. And as a Free Presbyterian church and a Free Presbyterian minister, we can say this is the only candle we believe in the church. The candle of the gospel. The gospel gives light. It's not why the devil hates the gospel, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ should shine in upon their hearts and in their minds. It's the light of the gospel that the devil hates, and he would seek to extinguish it. And some churches have done that for him. because there are churches where the gospel is no longer preached. The light has gone out. The light is out. What about those poor souls that sit there where there's no light, no gospel? This is the light. We need to spread the light of the gospel. It's the Spirit of God working through the light of the gospel. The lost brings them to life in Jesus Christ. Need to get the gospel out. May we always be a gospel preaching people. And always be a gospel preaching church. Notice her diligence. The Lord tells us that she not only lit a candle, but she went on to sweep the house and to seek diligently. After she lit the candle, she did two more things. She got a broom and she swept the house and she sought diligently. So first of all, after she got the candle, we see her sweeping the house. She takes her broom and carefully sweeps away the dust which may be concealing this lost piece of silver. She endeavors to sweep away that which may be a hindrance to her finding her piece of silver. In order to find souls that are lost, sometimes we have to get the broom out and sweep clean our hearts. Remember, the Lord's dealing with the church here. Need to get the broom out and the light, in the light of God's word, and start sweeping our hearts. Lest some sin in our hearts would be a hindrance to us reaching that soul for Christ. In one of our churches, a number of years ago, a minister conducted a gospel mission in his own church. To go for 3 or 4 weeks. First week, he preached the gospel, but he found the meetings were hard. No liberty. He got to the end of the week, the first week of missioning, and no souls had been saved. He knew there was something wrong. So the next Sabbath morning, at the beginning of the second week, he preached to the believers in the morning. And as a result of that message, he got right with God. For he discovered that day that they had been harboring grievances. And some had not been living right. So when the Spirit of God convicted them, they got things right. They put things right with one another and they put things right with God. And the whole mission changed. That Sabbath evening, it was easy to preach. And I believe at almost every meeting for the next three weeks, souls were saved. Believers had to get the broom out and sweep their hearts clean. Not only do we read that she swept the house, but she searched the house. Says that she sought diligently. Find that the word seek here is the same word used to describe the Lord Jesus himself. Son of man has come to seek. Same word. And to save that which was lost. Isn't that interesting? that she thought this piece of silver. She's a picture of the church seeking souls, and the word that the Spirit of God used, the word the Lord Jesus used, is the same word he used to describe his own seeking. And so as a church believer, we must seek souls as Christ sought them. We must seek souls with Calvary love burning in our hearts. For that's where he found those souls at Calvary. He came seeking souls. That was because he loved them. And his love took him to Calvary. We must seek the lost with Calvary love. We're told, the Lord says, that she swept the house and she would seek diligently. Diligently. That word is not found anywhere else in the New Testament. There's only reference to this word here. It means carefully with anxiety. To seek carefully with anxiety. To be anxious even as you're seeking. We're to be anxious about souls. We're to be anxious about the lost. Are we anxious? Are we anxious about the lost of this time? For we'll never be diligent in our search for souls if we're not anxious. Surely it is our lament often. It's mine. I wish I had a greater burden for souls. So why not pray with me? Say, Lord, make me more anxious about the lost. Give me a greater burden for souls. Notice her determination. The Lord tells us how this woman would light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently until she find it. She was determined to find that piece of silver. She would search until she found it. It was hers, and she would find it. The Lord will find his people. Wherever they are tonight, in drinking dens and gambling dens, deep down in sin, far away from God, the Lord will find them. May the Lord work through us to find those lost souls. And finally, and very briefly, of the woman and her locating the piece of silver. Verse 9 begins with the good news, and when she has found it, here she recovers the silver. Previous verse ended by telling us that this woman would search until she find it. And then the verse 9 begins, and when she has found it. She hadn't searched in vain. It wasn't a vain search. Dear child of God, we search for souls. It'll not be a vain search. God has his people here. He has his elect. And they must be found. And they must be brought under the light of the gospel. And we will find them. The Spirit of God will search until they're found. May he use us. May he work through us. You have the recovery, you have the rejoicing. She gathered in her friends and neighbors. Believer, when the Spirit of God works through us and souls are saved, we'll be telling our friends and neighbors. That person for whom you have prayed for years, if that person got saved, would you not be telling your friends and neighbors? You'd be on the phone all night. And my, wouldn't they rejoice with you? We saw souls saved in this house. People in Allentown would be rejoicing with us. People in Orlando would be rejoicing with us. People in Greenville would be rejoicing with us. People in Toronto would be rejoicing with us, because we would have told our friends and neighbors what rejoicing there is over a soul being saved. I tell you, there's nothing like a soul winner's joy. May we all experience it. And then the Lord says, likewise, there is rejoicing, there is joy in the presence of the angels over one sinner that repenteth. One sinner that repenteth. As we pointed out last week, it doesn't say one sinner that makes a commitment, one sinner that makes a decision. That doesn't cause heaven to rejoice. Whenever a sinner repents, then it's a genuine work. And the saints in glory in the presence of the angels and the Savior will rejoice, because that sinner that repents will one day join the glorified throng. It's another one that will one day see the King in His beauty. May the Lord make our church a soul-winning church. May the Lord, the Holy Spirit, work through us to reach and find the lost for Christ. Let's bow in prayer. Most loving and gracious God, we rejoice in Jesus Christ, the Savior of men. And O Lord, we pray that Christ will ever be presented to sinners in this place. And Lord, we pray for souls. We pray that the Holy Ghost will work through us in the reaching those that are lost. And O Lord, come and do a work in our hearts, that, dear Lord, we might know something of the value of a soul. Make us anxious for souls. Give us a heart that McShane had as he listened to the people walking past him in the street and heard the tramp, tramp, tramp of Christless souls on the road to a Christless hell. And he wept. Lord, give us tears for sinners, we pray. Bless us tonight. Bless the word to our hearts. Bless us now, Lord, as we leave. And our gracious Lord, may our travel home, may our journey home be a blessing. Bless us in our homes tonight. Keep us looking on to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and forever. Amen.